Holy Wit!
What did you just say?
Holy Wit, a podcast for warriors in training. In the last podcast, Cam and I left you with two questions to consider. Some may find these questions to be rhetorical, while others may have found these questions to be quite thought-provoking. In either case, let me remind you of those questions we left you with. The first question was, who gains by a Christian living substandard to God's ways? And the second question being, who gains by permanently separating a repented sibling from within our communities? The quick and easy answer is no one. No one wins. And I would venture so far as to say everyone loses. How then do we keep our relationships and communities together and growing? Because let's face it, it's not enough just to remain together. We've got to be growing. Today, I've got a treat for you, as I am going to share with you a conversation I had with a good friend of mine where we discussed the key element many avoid but need to learn how to engage in. May this conversation you are about to hear increase your courage to step out of your comfort zone and into resolving conflict with the tools we are about to discuss. Without further delay, please welcome my good friend, one of the wisest women I know, Marcy Muncie. Marcy, we all want our relationships to be healthy and growing. I mean, that's just who we are. Who wants to invest in a relationship that's dead or dying? But what would you say is that thing that perhaps we haven't learned, that we don't want to learn, but we need to learn when it comes to inspiring growth and health in our relationships?
Well, I think a key of living in healthy community is being able to find healthy ways to handle conflict.
Ooh, healthy conflict.
Yeah.
That's an oxymoron.
It seems a little contradictory, I suppose.
Right? Healthy conflict. How many people have just buried their heads under their pillows?
Conflict. I know I did.
Right. I can't have healthy conflict. I thought we fight to the 10 count.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody's holding up that belt.
That's right.
But you're right. So we need to look at healthy conflict. And to look at healthy conflict, we need to look at the inner workings of our relationship. Let's just build the context around, what does scripture say about conflict? Because we know that we find these answers in God's word. And why wouldn't we? He's got all the answers.
Right.
Nobody likes to know it all. Except for him. We love him because he has all the answers. If we turn to James, he asks, the brother of Jesus asks the question, why do you fight? Why are there fights and quarrels among you? And just off the top of your head, without going to it, Marcy, what's the answer he gives for why we have fights and conflicts?
Because we don't go to God. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. And I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, we're human, right? So our motives tend to be selfish first.
Right.
Right. And when we have selfish motives without considering, God's intent behind things or considering the other person involved, that's when conflict becomes unhealthy.
Sure. That's exactly it. And we've talked about before in previous sessions that we need to be able to discern, tell the difference between when we ourselves are offended and when somebody's actions are offending God.
Right.
And so if somebody's actions are offending God, this is what we're talking about in our question that we've opened with and that we've ended with the last session, is who gains by living substandard to God's ways? We're not saying live this way because I said so. We're saying you need to live this way because God says so. And not forgetting that our job, our role is to maintain God's standards that he's already put out. So when that doesn't happen and we don't get our ways, like James says, you fight and quarrel because you don't get what you want, exactly what you're saying, because we're selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, whether it's a selfish ambition or you've offended me first, and that's what I'm upset about, and that's why I'm not talking to you anymore, or we've offended God. There still needs to be some kind of conflict resolution that happens. But I think we can, not I think, we know that we agree that not too many people have the tools to resolve that conflict outside of a counselor's office.
Right, yeah, and it's such an important life skill, right? And I think for whatever reason, conflict resolution hasn't been intensely taught, right? It's like you go and apologize for your wrongs, you forgive someone when they apologize to you. But, you know, how do you do that constructively? And how do you approach it? And what does resolution even mean? Does that mean that both people have to be happy with the outcome? You know, there's so much more to it than just apologizing and forgiving.
We taught our kids to say sorry to each other and not, and when the other one would say it's okay, we tell them it's not the response.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody apologizes to you, the response is that we've taught our kids is I forgive you. And don't say it unless you don't mean it.
Right.
And so if you don't mean it, does it make the apology worthless? Just means the other person's not ready to receive it, which means that there's going to be another point in time where this is going to have to be talked about. Or when that offense happens again, we're going to have to revisit this.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you're right. We don't want, the goal is not to seek agreement. So one thing that will make my head explode is that we agree to disagree. No, no, that doesn't happen. Not that we have to agree on the same thing, that we have to be happy at the end, but we do need to resolve. And resolving, I think, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, I think resolving conflict is we understand one another better.
Right. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Resolution, like I said, doesn't mean we're both, you know, happy with the outcome and we can walk away holding hands, singing Kumbaya, right?
I don't think they walk when they sing Kumbaya. I think they sit in a circle.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, yeah, resolution means that I'm coming into this and I'm going to try and I'm going to make an effort to understand your perspective and you're going to make an effort to understand my perspective and we are going to listen to each other rather than just each coming into this because I want to say my piece so you know how I feel and I'm going to walk away after that.
And I'm going to feel better.
Right.
But meanwhile, you don't.
Right.
Yeah, that's not resolution.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's just division.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other person's either going to walk away or not talk to you.
Right.
Or if they talk to you, it's going to be very surface.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be like it was before. So which leads to the question, when we're considering resolving conflict with somebody, there's a few questions we need to ask ourselves when we're planning to do this. And the first thing first is to go one-on-one. And when we go one-on-one, we need to have it clear in our mind, what is the end goal? So all these things are questions we need to ask ourselves. You know, like the scripture in the Psalms says, you know, Lord, search my heart.
Mm.
Know my inner thoughts and see if there's anything offensive within me. We need to ask ourselves, what is the end goal? Am I going to prove my point? Am I going to make them submit to my side of it, which is looking for agreement? Like you said, are you willing to actively listen and understand their experience? And ultimately, why are you doing this? Why are you wanting to resolve that conflict? Because so often it's like we go in to try to resolve the conflict, but we end up reverting to that. You apologize to your sister right now.
Right.
Right. You apologize to your brother. You have to say you're sorry. And a lot of times we think that Christians have to say we're sorry. This is a Christian thing to do. But what's the danger in saying sorry when you're not sorry?
Well, then there's not going to be any change in the behavior. I mean, being sorry means that I genuinely feel bad about what I've done and I'm going to make every effort to change that behavior. That's what I explain to my kids all the time, right? Don't say you're sorry just because I'm telling you to say you're sorry. You feel bad about what you did and you're going to make an effort to be better in that area, to not do that hurtful thing again. So yeah, it's important to only apologize when you're ready to do that, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, behaviorally, to be able to say, I recognize that what I did was hurtful and I'm going to do everything I can to not do this again.
Yes, because that speaks value to the other person. You're saying, I'm taking responsibility for my part in this.
Right. And I care enough about you to want to change my behavior.
Yes. And I'm not apologizing because if I don't, I'm going to be in trouble.
Right.
What kind of trouble are you going to be in as adults? But we seem to approach it in a childlike manner, which is why we're talking about this today, is to get us through that childlike manner into a more safe adult way, a godly way to resolve conflict. So we're thinking through, what's the end goal? Well, the end goal, you know, as we think through it, we want to learn from each other. We want to reconcile and restore this relationship. And it's not always the person who's done wrong. Sometimes it's the person that's been wronged needs to engage in that healthy conflict.
Mm-hmm.
In that conflict and make it healthy.
Right.
A lot of times we don't know how we could have hurt somebody. And it's for that other person. If you're hurt, then you need to go to that person one-on-one. Not telling everybody else, but the person involved.
Right.
Right. We need to go one-on-one, which is funny because that's what my husband would do. Somebody would come to them and complain about their leader in a group. And he would ask him, did you go talk to this leader? And they would say no. And he goes, well, then you don't talk to me about it. You go when you talk to this leader. If your issue is with them, you need to resolve it there first. Don't come crying to me thinking that you're going to get this leader into trouble or this other person in trouble. So their end goal was not to restore the relationship. That end goal in that example, those examples are to get somebody in trouble. And if that's your goal, then you do not start resolving that conflict yet. Is there any benefit to rehashing the event? So we've thought it through and we're like, yeah, you know what? This is something that I really need to make right. And you get together with the person. Is there any benefit in talking about what happened in detail?
Right. And I think sometimes that can be beneficial. Especially, you know, sometimes I've experienced something in a completely different way than the other person has. And when you go through that experience, it brings understanding, right? But there are times, I think, when it is just hurtful or painful to actually rehash the details of whatever happened, right? In more extreme circumstances, I think. I think it's important to determine that going in. Is this something that there's going to be some benefit from talking about the details of the experience of what happened? Or is that going to end up being damaging to either of the people involved or both?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, because sometimes in rehashing what happened, it's going to heighten those emotional responses that they're, you know, it's going to make it really heated,
right,
and pretty hot. And then you're not getting anywhere in your resolving conflict. What would you do you think, in that situation when tempers are going or hurts are right there in the forefront as you're rehashing what happened?
I mean, in the midst of conflict resolution, I think there are going to be times where you actually just have to take a moment and say to the person and to yourself, let's just take a minute and talk about whether it's worth it to talk about these details, right? Because the more emotional you get, the less constructive your conversation is going to be. Because the more emotional you get, the more you just want to make the person understand, right?
Right.
And yes. it gets less and less constructive as you're talking, the more emotion that's brought into it. So, yes. You know, you might even have to say, you know what? I need to just gather myself for a moment. I'm going to go grab a bottle of water. I'll be back in like 2 minutes, right? Sometimes there are those times where you just need to take a couple of minutes, regroup, take a breath, and let your emotions settle. And then of course there's times where it's not going to be beneficial to step away because you might not end up coming back, right?
It's an empty space.
Right.
Yeah. You see them running away. Wait a second, was it something I said? But you agree. So when you get to this point, you've agreed to meet together. And so then it doesn't hurt to lay down some ground rules.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to rehash this? Is there a benefit in doing so? And why? Are you doing it to raise your point, to solidify your position, or are you doing it to gain understanding? To see, like, if it's somebody, I think if it's somebody going to the other person who absolutely has no idea that they hurt them, well, my goal is so that you can understand where my hurt came from, where, you know, where it was rooted in. And it's not to place blame, it's to come up with a...
To bring understanding to the situation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we talked about, are you willing to own your part? And that's huge. And that's actually something that you need to consider before you plan to speak to them one-on-one. Are you willing to own your part? And all too often, I've seen an experience that one party will own their part just so they can keep the conversation going. Hmm. We're not going to get over this wall until I say, yeah, that's my fault. But it wasn't truly. We're just saying it to keep going. So if that happens, it's okay to shut it down. We're not going to get past this point. This was a good start. Let's have this conversation. Let's pick up some other time and we can go away and think about what's been said so far.
Right. And I think that's really important to recognize going into something that if you can't reach resolution in this conversation, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to say, this is getting to be a lot right now. Let's take a couple of days. Let's pray about it. Let's think about it. Let's spend some time with God and where we want to see this go. Mm-hmm. And let's touch base at the end of the week, right? And, yes. And come back to it.
Yeah. And important to resist texting each other about it.
Right.
Because conflict resolution is healthy when it's done face to face. Because what happens when we actually see somebody versus texting a faceless person on a screen?
Right. It's a lot easier to just spout off and speak your mind and say your piece because... Yeah. Because it's not personal.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely.
I forgot I'm dealing with a human instead of this electronic piece of whatever I have in my hand.
Right.
Or in front of me. And in owning our part, we're also asking for forgiveness for where we need to be forgiven. A large part of it in resolving conflict is if your feet are planted and you become stubborn in what happened, you're not going to express how you were hurt. Hmm. Because vulnerability is not something that you want to show the other person. But why would that, if we change that position and we ask God to change our heart in that, what could be the blessing that could flow out of that?
I mean, it opens you up to so much more of a deeper human connection with that person. You know, I think... It comes down to human nature. You feel more connected to a person when they allow themselves to be vulnerable with you. It's like, man, they are trusting me enough in this moment to share their hurt and their pain with me. Mm-hmm. And it builds a bond there. And when one person is just refusing or staying closed off and for whatever reason that is, it only allows that flow of connection to go one way and not both. Mm-hmm. And having that flow going both ways is so important in relationship in general, but especially when you're trying to resolve conflict without it becoming unhealthy.
Right. And so then how that would be unhealthy in being vulnerable is if you're using it to manipulate somebody's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And you're using it as like, it's like, well, fine, I just wanted you to know this, blah. And then before I walk away forever.
Right. You're not doing it out of a genuine desire to want the person to understand.
Right.
You're coming at it again from a perspective of, well, I just want to say my piece mm-hmm. and be done with it.
Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, thank you so much for talking about this. I had no idea that this is what was hurting you, that this is what was bugging you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for bringing it up. Now I want to share my side or, you know, not really my side, but share how this has affected me. And then that vulnerability, you're right, goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes down to, do you know how to express your feelings without being accusatory or assigning blame? Well, if you didn't do this, then I wouldn't have reacted like this.
Right. Yeah. And I find myself at times, or I hear other people where it's like, okay, I understand that that's not what you meant to say or how you meant to make me feel, but
yeah, that,
but. You know, but this and this and this and this, right? Yeah. And
it's your list.
And we need to be able to just end that sentence there.
Yes.
Thank you for explaining that. I recognize now that you didn't mean to hurt me with what you said or what you did, that you didn't even realize that this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then without throwing that but in there, like you said, then you can share your experience from your perspective of, you know, And going back to the part where it says, where we were talking about how you're willing to own your part, even if you weren't the one who is being confronted in a situation as someone who wronged somebody, you were on the receiving end of that, there still may be a part that you need to own in that, mm-hmm. right? You were the one that hurt me by these actions. However, I recognize that I have responsibility in this. And maybe it roots from a completely different life experience that you've had, where maybe you've been hurt in a similar way by mm-hmm. other people in the past. And there's some healing that needs to take place around that area, mm-hmm. right? Being able to recognize, you know, sitting back when this happens and saying, why am I so hurt by this? Mm-hmm. You know, what is driving this feeling of hurt in me when I look at this experience, it's really not that significant what this person did. Why did it hurt me so deeply?
Right.
Right. So I think it's important when you're on the receiving end of something hurtful, is there something deeper that maybe you want to look at or want to pray about or take to the Lord and say, is there some healing around this area that needs to take place?
A lot of times people will respond with, I was joking.
Mm.
I didn't mean it like that. And there's nothing wrong, in my opinion, of the other person saying, no, you may think you were joking, but you meant that to hurt. You meant that to dig. Because
mm-hmm.
we know how to dig.
Right.
We so know how to dig, and we could do it with a smile on our face.
Yeah.
And go secretly, yes, finally got to say that to somebody else. I'm so happy. I saw that in a movie once, and I always wanted to see it. Well, it didn't work out for the movie.
Uh-huh.
And it's not working out for you. But it's true. In that, we can't get past that point if we're not listening to each other
mm-hmm.
and if we're not willing to listen. And a lot of times I bug my dad. My dad's from the East Coast, and we often say that Newfies, if they're not talking, they're thinking about what they're going to say next. So it's just a jab, it's a dig to say that people from Newfoundland don't know how to listen.
Right.
And I, of course, I'm just basing the entire Newfoundland population on my dad.
Right. Of course.
God love him. That man does not know how to listen. And that's so important to do. And you may need the help of Holy Spirit in that point in time. Help me hear. Help me engage what that other person is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because that comes back to active listening. And we've talked about what active listening is. It's the ability to listen to somebody else speak without judging, without forming your own opinions, or even thinking about what you're going to say next,
right.
Taking that time. And I think that involves a willingness to be vulnerable, because mm-hmm. it's not only vulnerability in speaking. There's also vulnerability in hearing. Can you hear what that other person says without your facial expression or your verbal expression, you know, giving away what you're thinking at the time, but actually really hearing what that person says? And then are you willing to forgive what that other person did?
Right. And I think that's important to decide, you know, all of these things we're talking about are important to process and think through before you ever get to the conversation yes. with this person.
Yes.
Right. If you're not willing to forgive the person, there's no point in having this conversation right now.
No.
Yes, Marcy. So good. We are actually out of time for today. Join us next week as Marcy and I continue our conversation to include a roadmap for those asked to be a mediator or for those needing a mediator. In the meantime, remember, God is a God of relationship who is in the business of reconciliation. Until then.